Indie Media is DIY news. It is about people reporting their own news directly without the need for reporters, bypassing the corporate media.
There are 100 Indie Media or IMC websites worldwide providing grassroots reports of struggles, campaigns and protests.
There are so many people here who are saying no to the government today, and this is democracy in action.
Everybody's here. Everybody in the country seems to be here. They're just coming from all over the place. The banners are showing all the tiny, tiny little pockets of the country. Everybody has come down here.
The project started 3 years ago covering the massive Seattle protests which shut down the World Trade Organization summit.
Uncensored and unsponsored, IMC sites can be updated anywhere, anytime, by anyone.
The open-to-all nature of these sites means that you can publish your own reports about your own issues and at the same time connect to a global network of grassroots news. What you are about to hear are some highlights from these global websites and from our very own UK IMC Wire. For more information or to get the news direct from the streets, check out www.indiemedia.org.uk.
The world is waking outside my window. Bella ciao, bella ciao, bella ciao, ciao, ciao. Drags my senses into the sunlight, for there are things that I must do.
Hello and welcome to the show. This is Resonance 104.4 FM. You're listening to the Indie Media Radio London show, brought to you this week by Penny
and Rachel.
That was very cute. What happened there? Stay with us for the next hour. We've got an explosive cocktail of red-hot radical reports from the UK Indie Media newswires and from the newswires far, far beyond this crazy little island, all of which reports are lovingly spliced with a few of our favourite tunes, which actually they're probably as rousing as and as radical as the reports. Although it should go without saying by now that this is not an insurgent show, is it?
No.
Okay, so before we crank up this high-speed, full-beam information machine, here's a song from a few of our old friends.
Hey! Raider, Raider, no! It never made the paper. Beat us, made us attack our woman in black. So I said sophisticated beat.
Don't be one.
Not to heed the warning. Crack the door, now is it the
door to crack?
Stop the talk, they say, but we talk and say what's right or wrong. Some say we wasted time singing a song. But why is it there were many different shades? Black woman's privacy and faded.
Years and years you can't count
my mama's tears. It's not the past, the future's what she fears. Strong,
we'll be
strong, the next generation. It's not what who we're facing. The fingers pointed to us in our direction. The blind state of mind needs correction. Word to the mother, we tighten
connection.
To be a man, you need no collection. This generation generates a new attitude.
Yeah.
Sister, to you, we should not be rude. So we come together, make them all say, damn!
Was Public Enemy with Revolution
Generation.
Generation.
That'd be us then, eh?
That'd be us, I don't think.
No.
Now, this story is from the Global Indie Media Newswire. 26,000 asylum seekers to be deported from the Netherlands. Dutch government defends deportation policy with intimidation and repression. The Dutch government plans to pass a bill to allow a massive deportation of 26,000 asylum seekers, despite the fact that only a tiny number of asylum seekers actually receive a permit to stay in the Netherlands. Ever since introducing this proposal, a wave of protests and actions have swept across the country, and international organisations like Human Rights Watch condemn the policy as it would violate international standards and create an even more dangerous situation for refugees. In a series of actions from the end of January, protests were planned at the detention centre of Zestienhoven near Rotterdam on Sunday, the 21st of March. The demonstration was announced in due form and security issues were discussed with the local authorities. Despite this, the authorities forbade all protests around Zestienhoven and in the entire city of Rotterdam. Such draconian action concerning protest is illegal in the Netherlands. A major police blockade was set up around the city. Two buses were stopped. All passengers were checked for ID and illegally photographed. Four people were arrested. All cars on their way to Zestienhoven were stopped. The people in cars were also questioned and photographed. They were forced to provide a good reason to be allowed to continue. Public transport was stopped and the passengers were taken from the buses to be identified and once again photographed. Protesters tried to walk back to the train station situated on the route of the demonstration, but was stopped and forced back on a bus to the city. Three police cars followed the bus all the way back to the train station, which was swarming with police. Only a small alternative protest in front of Biljima prison, which has a deportation section in Amsterdam, was allowed.
Are you still tuned in to the Indie Media Radio London show? We're live on Resonance 104.4. We're just doing a sweep of the global indie media newswires, from which this comes a story from Colombia, which evidently is not the place to be if you're a trade unionist. Over 3,000 have been murdered since 1987. Eight of those were working at Coca-Cola bottling plants. One of them, Isidro Segundo Gil, was killed inside a Coke bottling plant and his wife murdered by the paramilitaries for campaigning for justice. Three Colombian bottlers are now part of a legal action in the US under the Alien Tort Claims Act, which accuses the company of collaborating or hiring paramilitaries to murder, torture, kidnap and to disappear Coca-Cola workers and trade unionists. Last September,
Coca-Cola's largest Colombian bottler closed the production lines at 11 of their 16 plants and launched a new offensive against union-affiliated workers in an effort to break support for the Food and Drinks Workers Union. The company imprisoned workers by force in factories or hotels and pressured them to renounce their employment contracts in return for a measly payout. Then the bottler suddenly sacked 91 workers from their plant, 70% of whom are union organisers. So 12 days ago, to try to draw world attention to the situation, 30 of these sacked workers began a hunger strike in front of 6 Coke bottling plants. One of them, Juan Carlos Galvis, vice president of the local union, said, "If we lose the fight against Coca-Cola, we will first lose our union, next our jobs, and then our lives." He should know, last August, there was an assassination attempt against him, and just a few months ago in December, his brother-in-law was brutally murdered in an incident that many human rights groups have linked to anti-union thugs. Just a week into the protest, and strikers are already being threatened by the paramilitary, who issued a statement declaring they must leave or they will become a military target and we will finish them off. If you want more information about Colombia and the worldwide boycott campaign, check out www.killercoke.org. And also, comedian Mark Thomas has organised an exhibition to recreate Coke's Nazi adverts in May at the Nancy Victor Gallery, which is in Charlotte Street, London. For more information about that, go to www.mtcp.co.uk.
So my people, take your place. Things and time have changed. You'll need some different kind of face. Make sure you don't stand on sinking sand when you're ready to take his place. The four kings of the earth be wise. Judgment is over. Give time so who you are and why.
That was Love is the Only Solution, Morgan Heritage with Ja Kior. The 30th of March was Land Day in Palestine, which commemorates demonstrations against land expropriation. And 28 years ago, six Palestinian Israelis were shot dead.
So we've just got a roundup of stories about Palestine and Israel from the Indie Media newswires, newswires in Israel and Palestine and also beyond. If you want to check any of these out, they're all on www.indiemedia.org. So a recent report by John Duggard, the UN Commission on Human Rights Special Rapporteur, stated that Israeli forces had, quote, inflicted a reign of terror upon innocent Palestinians in the course of their assassinations of militants in densely populated towns, their destruction of homes and their random firing in built-up areas, not to mention the methodical intimidation and humiliation of civilians at checkpoints. He attached this addendum to a previous report which came out last September after he visited the occupied territories in February. He said that the situation was now characterised by serious violations of general international law, of human rights law and of international humanitarian law. Since the beginning of 2004, the Israeli Defense Force has killed more than 140 Palestinians and wounded more than 200, mostly children. Each month has seen an increase in the death toll. 32 Palestinians were killed in January and 52 in February. In just the first 2 weeks of March, 44 were killed. Within the Gaza Strip, most of Israel's fire has been concentrated upon Rafah. Of the 15,000 people that the UN Relief and Works Agency believes have been made homeless by house demolitions carried out by the Israeli Defense Force, two-thirds of them are from Rafah in southern Gaza. Thousands of homes have been damaged. Just since last October, more than 200 homes have been demolished and 2,000 people made homeless. In 2003, the rate of house demolitions doubled. Last October, in just one raid, the IDF demolished 189 homes and three multi-storey apartment blocks, killing 15 people and making 1,780 people homeless. The Commissioner General of the UN, Peter Hansen, sorry, that's the UN Relief Works Agency. He described the latest demolitions as a hugely disproportionate military response. Last January, he said that the Palestinians affected by the demolition policy could hardly be blamed if they come to believe that they are the victims of collective punishment.
Meanwhile, a recent Save the Children survey found that 93% of Palestinian children felt unsafe. More than half felt that their parents could no longer protect them. Half the children surveyed had witnessed violence affecting an immediate family member. 21% had had to flee their home for a period because of conflict. Almost all parents reported traumatic behaviour, including nightmares, bedwetting, increased aggression and hyperactivity.
So over in Israel, Land Day was commemorated on the 30th of March yesterday, on which date 28 years ago six Palestinian Israeli citizens were killed by security forces during demonstrations. There was at that time a general strike against land expropriations, mostly in Galilee. For all Palestinians, 30th of March is Yom al-Ad, or Land Day, a day when Palestinians all over the world show their support and unity with those who live under the Israeli occupation by going on strike or by organising demonstrations and events. In Israel yesterday, people marched from Sahnin and from Deir Hana in the north to Arabe, where speeches were made. There are a few thousand demonstrators from all the parties and organisations, and a general strike call was widely obeyed. The participation of Jews was very poor, according to this report, which you can find on Indie Media Israel, which is www.israel.indiemedia.org.
shalom, Emmanuel.
That was a band called Sheva, who are an Arab-Israeli collaboration, and a track called Al Sulha, Forgiveness. You're still tuned into Indie Media Radio London. We're live on Resonance 104.4 FM. And now we've got a couple more stories from the Indie Media newswires.
On March the 21st, 2004, a 21-hour broadcast marathon against racial discrimination travelled the world. Radio Voix Sans Frontières, RVSF, a multilingual mosaic of programmes, began in Asia at 3 o'clock GMT until 6 o'clock GMT, when it passed to the microphones of Africa, then to Europe, then to North America, and finally to Latin America. Produced by AMARC, the World Association of Community Radio Broadcasters, in collaboration with community radio producers and stations in five continents, the global broadcast ended at 2400 hours Greenwich Mean Time. RVSF was not only webcast on www.amarc.org, but also distributed by satellite and relayed by community radio stations around the world, with some 70 participating stations. It is estimated that 200 stations reached millions of listeners worldwide, carrying the programming on March the 21st. Although global broadcast happens one day a year, radio stations and others are encouraged to download and broadcast the programs on their local radio stations throughout the year. Many audio archives are already on the website and will be completed in the coming weeks. But why a global broadcast? Migration, racism and discrimination remain at the forefront of political concerns worldwide. Social movements have made it their mission to advocate for the recognition of rights for most marginalised communities. Based in the grassroots, the community radio movement also reflects these concerns. Among the objectives of RVSF, they hope to reinforce the socially inclusive ethos of the community radio sector and promote access to the media by minorities and disadvantaged groups. When RVSF claims another communication is possible, it does so in solidarity with the growing and strengthening social movements worldwide, who believe that fighting social inequalities is possible and will create initiatives. With RVSF, they hope to continue their venture in sharing with the world the many faces of racial discrimination and how communities are working to eliminate it. For more information on this project, contact Elvira Truculia, RVSF International Coordinator, AMARC International. I have a telephone number, which is 514-982-0351. And an email address, which is elvira@amarc.org.
Meanwhile, the nominations for the World Stupidity Awards are now open. This is the second year for the Stupidity Awards, which ignited a firestorm of media attention last year when former Iraqi Information Minister Saeed al-Sahaf won the Stupidest Person in the World category and US President George W. Bush won the Stupidity Award for Reckless Endangerment of the Planet. The 2004 World Stupidity Award categories include Stupidest Man of the Year, Stupidest Woman, Stupidest Country, Stupidest Trend of the Year, and also Media Outlet, which has made the greatest contribution to furthering ignorance worldwide. That won't be Resonance then. Nominees will be announced this spring, and the winners will be awarded the coveted Golden Dunce at a formal award show this summer. Organisers say the reason for the awards is that we're all human, we're all stupid sometimes, but some of us just need to have it pointed out. You can check out more about the awards and the nomination categories on www.stupidityawards.com.
And we are coming, and we will not stop, we will not relent until your country is free.
Never go, never go, yeah. Never go and never go again. MC Daylight come to bust up the system. If I go and if I go and if I go again, Daylight show you how to resist them. If I go and if I go and if I go again, Mountman that I prat Mendoza and I mix them. If I go and if I go and if I go again, MC Daylight and a few good men, where to begin? Let me fill you in. I'm a law-abiding UK citizen. I'm pro free trade, though that's not what we've got. I'm pro globalization, though that's not what's happening. I'm pro free speech, and you're not gonna stop me. Apart from the right to bear arms, my ideas and yours are in line. So what do you find so dangerous about mine? Isn't it the while you pretend you're actually anti-free trade, anti-free speech, anti-free world? In the end, without a friend in the world, your cover's finally blown. It's plain to see why you should come get me, Switzerland, and then to the CIA. You can't touch me, cause I'm UK, I ain't Muslim or black, so what can you say? Gun me down, make my day, best to ignore me, don't you think? Just hope I disappear when you blink. I let myself at your feet, come on now, tread on me. Prove the lie that says our speech is free. You lose, what did you gain if you did that and you know it? Better discredit me before I blow it, cause I'm about to resurrect the socialist state. Don't you just hate it, mate, don't you just hate the way I keep talking and I won't shut up. My lyric runneth over like your cup, cause I'm as dangerous as Pope John Paul I. Send on the poisonous, do you worse, so it's near.
This is Indie Media, Radio London. Don't hate the media, be the media.
I'm powerful, you're the evil empire. Your time has come to expire. Come over to the light side before we have to kill. If I go and if I go and if I go again, yeah, MC Daylight come tap us up the system. If I go and if I go and if I go again, Daylight show you how to resist them. If I go and if I go and if I go again, Mount Man that I prat Mendoza and I mix them. If I go and if I go and if I go again. This one's for the man in the street in the USA and the man in the street in the UK who reads the papers, who believe what they say. This one's for you, I hope you're having a nice day, cause I'm just about to wreck it. Gonna stand it up and deck it with a dose of the truth. This time you really gotta check it. All this macho stuff, haven't we had enough? Dropping bombs, do you think that's tough?
That ain't tough.
What you wanna do, bomb them back to Stonehenge, just so we can get revenge for something that we had coming a long time? Yeah, I said it, mate, those words were mine. And when they attack us, it's gonna be in self-defense. What we gonna do, how we gonna make sense? Adopt the logic of Ariel Sharon. We gotta kill them all, every last one. We gotta kill them all, every last one. It don't work, mate, think back to the Second World War. Adolf Hitler tried that one before. It don't work, mate, think back to the Second World War. We gotta kill them all, we gotta kill them all. It don't work, mate, Adolf Hitler tried that one before. It don't work, it never works, never has done. Why? If I go and if I go and if I go again, yeah, MC Daylight come to bust up the system. If I go and if I go and if I go again, Daylight show you how to resist them. If I go and if I go and if I go again, yeah, MC Daylight come to bust up the system. If I go and if I go and if I go again, Daylight show you how to resist them. I'm like Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know you just can't stop me. Even if you kill me, I'll just become more powerful. Yeah, you're the evil empire. Your time has come to expire. Come over to the light side before we have to kill. Come over to the light side.
Dibby 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 bubbling for a while.
Before they have to kill, should I say? I ain't doing no killing. Should I tell you why? When I took it to the kids on the block, we say Bin Laden is a hero. And if you don't know, you really should know. There's plenty of them, you know. They say Bin Laden is a hero. I say, listen, kid, don't you know? Everyone murder increases the curse. You really don't wanna go make things worse. No, tell me, please, you really don't wanna go make things worse. Why everyone murder increases the curse? Everyone murder increases the curse. You really don't wanna go make things worse. But you really don't wanna go make things worse. When I'm talking to the kids on the block, you say Bin Laden is a hero. I say Bin Laden ain't no hero. He ain't no hero. We in trouble cause of him. I'm like Obi-Wan Kenobi. You know you just can't stop me. Even if you kill me, I'll just become more powerful.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
That was a track called Bin Laden Ain't No Hero from someone called The Rub. You're still tuned in to Resonance 104.4 FM. This is the Indie Media Radio London show. We've got some stories coming up now from the UK.
Indie Media Newswires, which you will know if you tune into us every week, as you must do, that these stories are all published by anyone who feels like it onto the Indie Media Newswires.
Last week, we heard the news that Karen Jones, the Welsh Assembly's Environment Minister, had agreed that he will not add Chardon genetically modified maize to the National Seeds List Register, the prerequisite for commercial growing, without the authorisation of the Assembly through a free vote on the issue. Now, this week comes the news that we'll have anti-GM campaigners around the country dancing in the streets, or fields, maybe. Bayer Crop Science has pulled out of plans to commercialise the GM maize, blaming government constraints for making it economically non-viable. Environment Secretary Margaret Beckett has previously given the go-ahead, in principle, to only one of the prospective commercial GM crops, Bayer's herbicide-tolerant maize. However, undefined restrictions were to be put in place following yet more consultations, and issues such as how close genetically modified corn could be planted to non-genetically modified corn, the level of GM corn that would be acceptable when found in non-GM corn, and who would be responsible for any damages was still to be decided. That, Bayer says, the UK government constraints would make the crop economically non-viable is ironic, given both the UK government's pro-GM stance and the fact that many commentators had said that GM maize crop would in fact only ever amount to a tiny percentage of maize grown in the UK. For more on this story, check out www.biotechimc.org.
Also, following the evictions of tree camps at the Blackwood Roads protest in South Wales, it's a story that we covered last week. The campaign is continuing. There are still around 50 trees being defended. There are still tree camps and tree houses being built, and actions are taking place. And this Saturday afternoon, they have a meeting at Kerry Camp to discuss the campaign further. Meanwhile, further up north, and an office occupation at a Marshalls PLC building took place on Thursday the 25th of March in Elland, West Yorkshire. As a group of up to 25 activists from Yorkshire, Manchester, Derbyshire and Lancashire decided to ram home the message that corporate exploitation and destruction of woodlands will not go unchallenged. The following day, people also blockaded and occupied a Marshalls depot in Mansfield Woodhouse. Marshalls is a huge multinational company specialising in landscape and construction materials, especially stone. People are protesting against Marshalls because its subsidiary, Stancliffe Stone, is behind the plan to quarry the hillside below Stanton Moor, right next to the Nine Ladies Stone Circle. This plan to quarry a place of rare natural beauty in the middle of the Peak District National Park has been up to now unsuccessful due to the fight put up by the people at the Nine Ladies protest camp. Marshalls, however, has recently stepped up the pressure to evict the camp and to get the go-ahead for the quarrying, despite objections from a whole range of groups. Meanwhile, Sherwood Forest protest camp has received strong indications of a possible eviction. This is despite an agreement with the council, who have said that they will not begin work on the road prior to an agreed 30-day safe period, during which an independent survey will assess options to find an alternative which is less environmentally damaging. Finally, another new tree occupation started last Thursday. It's again the proposed F5 road scheme planned for the A1159 Priory Crescent North, which is near Southend-on-Sea in Essex. And you can get more information on all those protests at, the Indie Media Newswire, which is www.indiemedia.org.uk, or you can check out Road Alert on www.roadalert.org. oneword.org.uk.
Tomorrow is April Fool's Day. First, a history lesson. Just over 400 years ago, the standard European calendar, which had been introduced by Julius Caesar, was badly in need of an overhaul. In 1582, Pope Gregory XIII ordered the adoption of a new method of calculating the passage of a year, which corrected the inaccuracy of the Julian system by advancing the calendar and changing the date of the new year from what was April to January the first. With no modern communications, news travelled slowly and new ideas were often questioned. Many people did not hear of the change and others chose to ignore it, while some merely forgot. These people became April Fools. In a striking early example of Euroscepticism, the English resisted until 1752, by which time they were 11 days out of step with their neighbours. Anyway, April the 1st became the International Festival of Fun. A few years ago, in 2000, a news release was sent to the media stating that the 15th annual New York City April Fool's Day Parade was scheduled to begin at noon on 59th Street and would proceed down to Fifth Avenue. According to the release, floats in the parade would include a beaten Bustin' Bookin' float created by the New York, Los Angeles and Seattle police departments. This float would portray themes of brutality, corruption and incompetence. A Where's Mars float, reportedly built at a cost of $10 billion, would portray missed Mars missions. CNN and the Fox News affiliate WNYW sent television news crews to cover the parade. They arrived at 59th Street at noon only to discover that there was no sign of a parade, at which point the reporters realised, you've guessed it, they've been hoaxed. The following year, the UK police and press got in on the act when around 200 riot police raided an empty building in order to, as the Telegraph newspaper reported, prevent a riot training weekend being attended by, quote, 500 rioters. This was, of course, all part of the hysterical run-up to May Day 2000. And now we've got some audio. Year sees a whole host of April foolery going down in London, including an art exhibition in the evening put on by the creative genius of the Random Artists Collective. Also in the evening, April Fool's Day sees the relaunch of the Undercurrents alternative news video series. The Undercurrents News Network will represent and distribute cutting-edge documentaries, trailers, spoof news reports and political animations overlooked by TV broadcasters. A premiere screening of the new compilation will be held tomorrow night between 6 to 9pm at the Friends Meeting House, 173 to 177 Euston Road, London, opposite Euston Station. Happy April Fools.
Thanks to the person who compiled the April Fool Report for that track. You're still tuned into Indie Media Radio London. We're live on Resonance 104.4 FM. We've just got a couple more quick stories from the Indie Media Newswires, which you can find on www.indiemedia.org.uk. In the run-up to Mother's Day 2004,
Mothers Against War ran a postcard campaign calling on Tony Blair to clean up depleted uranium and cluster bombs left behind in Iraq. To mark the end of this campaign, a group of mothers, grandmothers, children and other supporters gathered opposite Downing Street on Mother's Day, a year and a day after the war began. Halfway through the vigil, a small contingent, some dressed in aprons and carrying mops, crossed Whitehall to Downing Street, carrying a banner depicting a map of, well, the country the Americans refer to as Iraq, saying, "Iraq is a mess, clean it up, Tony." As they left Downing Street, somebody noticed John Prescott passing by, and two of the mothers' group pursued him down Whitehall, disconcerting his minders somewhat with their mops. They asked him to urge the Prime Minister to clean up depleted uranium and cluster bombs in Iraq. Mr. Prescott replied that they were trying their best, but declined the offer of a mop to help. If you want more information on that story, check it out on www.indymedia.org.uk.
Mahudi El Hadi was convicted this week at Snaresbrook Crown Court of obstructing a Docklands Light Railway train heading for the Dicey Arms Fair on the 10th of September 2003. He was given a conditional discharge and ordered to pay prosecution costs of £611. At 10:30 a.m. on Wednesday, the 10th of September 2003, a train pulled into East India Station. Mahidi used a bicycle D-lock around his neck to attach himself to the front of the train. He was photographed there wearing a sign that read, "Selling weapons equals war" and "Stop selling weapons, shut Dicey, Europe's biggest arms fair now." The electricity was switched off and, in Carson's word, everything came to a grinding halt. He was aware of many other protests happening on the same day, including the critical mass cyclists and the police use of anti-terrorism powers against protesters. He intended his action, in concert with the action of others, to stop the fair. He said that, "I felt it was fair and proper to stop the fair and that deals might not have been struck as a result of his action." In court, the judge said that British soldiers risked their lives in Iraq and that it was therefore unfortunate to question the war, as these demonstrations did. After the trial, Mahidi wrote, "As an Iraqi, I am shocked and appalled at the aggression shown towards Iraq and the mortal threat my family has been placed under by recent events there. The judge who heard my case was unprepared to even allow my defence to be presented. I protested at Dicey 2003 with thousands of others, all of us knowing we were justified in taking the direct action we had chosen to take against this immoral event." The two local protesters who covered a PP stand in fake blood during the 2002 CBI conference in Manchester's GMEX Centre appeared at the Crown Court last week, charged with criminal damage of over £5,000. They said their action addressed BP's greenwash as the company sought profit from catastrophe in the impending Iraq war and the Baku KM pipelines project. At the start of the four-day trial, the judge ruled out their defence, lawful excuse in preventing a greater crime, with their argument, expert witnesses and evidence now inadmissible. The pair continued to plead not guilty, representing themselves to use their summing up speeches to put BP on trial. The jury found them not guilty of four counts of damaging clothing, but could not reach a unanimous verdict on the damage to the BP stand. Eventually, the pair were found guilty of this charge, fined £300 between them, and given 2-year conditional discharge. The GMEC incident proved humiliating for security organisers, coming 2 days after protesters successfully stormed the building. CBI Chief Digby Jones told the press that he would ensure the pair received maximum punishment. The CBI conference had been the focus of protests over the corporate globalisation, equal pay for women, fire service pay and the Iraqi war.
Sundays, holidays, vacation time, we must be ready every day, all the time, to do the right thing if the atomic bomb explodes. Duck and cover. That's the first thing to do. Duck and cover. First, you duck. And then, you cover. You duck and cover. Fight. Duck and cover under the table. Duck. Duck. Duck.
that's all we've got time for on this show, with the exception of an outro that we're going to play. It's an audio clip about banana workers in Nicaragua who are fighting the Dole Banana Company along with Dow Chemicals and Shell. I think there's some issues with the chemical contamination going on there. We'll be back next week, same time, same place, Resonance 104.4 FM at 1 o'clock.
Okay, and don't forget to check out the website and post your news on indiemedia.org.uk. We look forward to hearing from you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
212.
Yeah, that's
this
cool.
Is Michael Franti here from Spearhead, and you're listening to Indie Media's London Radio, connecting London with the rest of the planet. Stand firm, stay human, hold the vibes, and give the corporation some complications.
Thousands of Nicaraguan workers, covered with skin lesions, sores, disfigurations, and cancer, are camped out in front of the National Assembly building in Nicaragua's capital city, Managua. They are demanding answers from the companies that knowingly and willfully exposed them to a deadly, poisonous pesticide that caused these defects. The company, Dole Bananas, Dow Chemical, and Shell, claim they hold no responsibility for the workers' fate. Catherine Stecker is a researcher with the Nicaragua Network based in Washington, D.C.
Banana workers in Nicaragua have been exposed through their work in the plantations to a pesticide known as Nemagon, and because of this have suffered some horrific health effects. Over the years, Nemagon was used in Nicaragua after its ban in the United States, which was in 79. And into the 80s. The pesticide is based with a chemical called dibromofluoropropane. It's a chemical that is supposed to kill things called nematoids that make the appearance of the banana, I guess, worse in the eye of the buyer. So they used it for a long time in the 50s and 60s. It wasn't until DBCP was shown to cause sterility in workers in California that produced it that the government undertook a process of examining whether it was a harmful chemical, and it then was certified that it was and became banned in the U.S. It's listed as extremely hazardous and a probable carcinogen. In terms of effects, it's caused sterility in men that have worked with it. It has caused birth defects in women who have worked with it and have become pregnant. It's caused miscarriages. Exposure to the skin has caused lesions. There have been reports of kidney and liver problems because of it. It's a horrible pesticide, and so workers that had been exposed to it and suffered effects from it have gotten together to sue the companies that both created it and employed it in the field. Those companies are Dole Food Company, Dow Chemical, and Shell Chemical. And they actually were successful in a lawsuit in 2001, and more recently, within the last 2 weeks, won another lawsuit in Nicaraguan courts against these companies. Thus far, none of the companies have acknowledged their liability, and they've refused to pay the workers' compensation. Dole has responded with a countersuit, accusing the workers themselves of fraud.
While bananas continue to be the most purchased fruit in the United States, banana workers throughout Central and South America continue to be among the most underpaid and overworked of all seasonal fruit laborers. During the era of colonialization, United Fruit Company was the owner of nearly 100% of the land in Honduras, and its successor, Chiquita Banana, still holds a large percentage of that country's land. Next door in Nicaragua, Dole, formerly Standard Fruit Company, holds the monopoly. So while U.S. citizens are enjoying the taste of their Dole bananas, most remain ignorant of the fact that workers are dying of pesticide poisoning for having worked on or near the Dole plantations in Nicaragua.
So at the moment, over 4,000 workers are encamped in Managua. The majority of them have been there since February 10th. They arrived, they walked all the way from Chinandega, which is the banana-growing region in Nicaragua. It took them 10 days to walk. And the conditions there are pretty difficult because they're encamped just in an area next to the National Assembly, which is obviously good in terms of showing their presence, but it's difficult being exposed in the sun and heat.
The workers camped out in Managua, Nicaragua, issued a statement this week declaring unity among all of the Nicaraguan banana workers and demanding justice for the suffering they've endured due to the effects of Nemagon pesticide. They demand a statement from the Nicaraguan President Bolaños on their behalf, a recognition by the companies of their culpability, and payment of the workers' medical bills. This is Jenka reporting for the Workers' Independent News Service.
You're listening to Indie Media Radio London on Resonance FM 104.4. Your radical radio.
Start making the graves.
Jerusalem.
Start making the graves.
Baghdad.
Start making the graves.
To Dublin for May Day? Direct actions, events and parties. From 15 to 25, the leaders of the new EU meet on 1st of May, International Workers' Day, to celebrate the integration of 10 new member states. Dublin 2004 for an alternative Europe. People like you all over Europe are fighting for the same thing. Friday, Critical Mass, a walk and cycle tour of Dublin.
Saturday the 1st, May Day.
The resistance against the banquet of the bosses of Europe. Bring the noise. Sunday, no borders, solidarity with the migrants. And Monday, reclaim the streets, a free street party. See indiemedia.ie. Dublin, May Day.
Dublin, May Day.
2004, against the Europe capital. Corporate media, propaganda machine in overdrive with predictable use of fear as pre-justification for violence. The European Union means an increase in state terrorism, social control and capitalist exploitation. It cannot be reformed, it must be destroyed from the bottom up. The policies and decisions over our future in Europe have been made already by bureaucrats in committee meetings. In Ireland, the EU was hailed as the bearer of prosperity that would help free the country from its post-colonial exclusion. Now the bubble has burst, the Celtic tiger growls no more. The EU means an integration of states to achieve a greater control of our movements. The Fortress Europe. The death toll rises of undesirable killed while trying to enter our Fortress Europe. A new European army will mean only one thing, more wars and more power struggles over the world's resources. For the capitalists, the EU is the agent of neoliberal globalisation.
Dublin, Mayday 2004.
For information, see dublinmayday.org, wombles.org.uk or indymedia.ie. Direct action events and parties. Resistance is fertile. Mayday 2004. A weekend of resistance. No justice, no peace. No to a fortress Europe. Be the democracy you want to see.